Once again, this is Jim Rao, your host. This is pre-recorded. I'm in Kenya as we speak today, and we've just finished up a conference yesterday at Mumias with our partner church, New Hope Fellowship, and so we're getting along very well, and we thank the Lord for all the provision. We thank the Lord for all the prayers. We thank the Lord for all the open doors that He has opened for us here in Africa. And I spoke before about if you would be interested in coming to Africa, this is going to be the mission for you. This will be the place for you. And we're looking forward to hosting many people over here in the days ahead. We're building an orphanage for 30 to 40 children in the Maoni Mumias area, and we have 4 acres of land with a beautiful spring and fruit trees planted, and so we're looking forward to serving the Lord here by providing a home for these children where they can come to know Jesus, where they'll be fed good food each and every day, and given an education and a place, a safe place to live. And also we are partnering with a preschool that is associated with the New Hope Fellowship Church. And this preschool has about 40 children already enrolled in the preschool. And you can help sponsor one of those children for $20 per month. And your $20 helps to buy mats to sleep on and shoes and uniforms and good maize meal each and every day, so the children will have food to eat and they'll be taught their ABCs. They're getting a basis for a primary education, but in addition to that, they're going to be taught about Jesus as their Lord and Savior. So even Muslims bring their children to these schools so they can get fed and get an education, and so it's an evangelism outreach. Besides being provision for the children, it's an evangelism outreach for the kingdom of God. And so if you'd be interested in sponsoring any of those children, get in touch with me, pureprairie@hotmail.com, and we will set you up with bank deposit, bank draft to take $20 a month to support these children, and you will be moving the kingdom of God forward in Kenya and providing for these children. And so I ask for your prayers as we continue. I'm going to be putting the American team back on the plane here in just a few days, and they will be returning to America. And I will be going on to Tanzania to preach a 5-day crusade in Dar es Salaam, the city of 6 million people, the financial commercial center of Tanzania. I'll be there for about 2 weeks and then going over to Burundi, to Ngozi, where I've been the last 2 years, going to preach a 3-day crusade there in Ngozi. And we will be blessed there with a fellowship of pastors from the Four Square Fellowship. And so we're going to be looking forward to going to Burundi and then on over to Rwanda, Uganda, and back to Kenya, where I will be based for the rest of the fall working on the orphanage project here in Mumias, Kenya. You can contact me anytime, pureprairie@hotmail.com. Let me know you're wanting to come. We have a team that is forming for the winter, possibly to go over in January, and also another team that is looking forward to coming in July of 2018. And so if you are interested in that and you think you want to step out and do something courageous, something bold for the kingdom, well, then get in touch with me and we'll give you the itinerary information that you need to start to plan your trip. Well, again, today the message is going to be dealing with fear, speaking against that mountain of fear. And we're going to be looking at the story of Gideon in Judges chapter 6, starting in verse 12. But first, I want to bring a scripture to us, and it is from 1 John chapter 4 in the New Testament, 1 John 4, verse 18, where John says, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment, and he who fears has not been made perfect in love." Well, beloved, that scripture speaks a lot to us about the love of Jesus for us. Jesus went to the cross, he died for us, and he shed his precious blood for us because he loved us. The Bible tells us that even when we were still in our sins, even when we were trapped in our sins, that Jesus loved us, that he cared about us so much that he went to the cross for us. He knew that the only way that we could be reconciled back to the Father was through his own precious blood, his own perfect blood. And so Jesus loves us with an undying love. He was obedient to the Father, even to the point of death. And so we need to be obedient to him. If you are a believer today, if you are born again, and you believe that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, and you have confessed his name as your Lord, as your Savior, then out of love, you want to do what Jesus called you to do. And we have all been given a destiny. God has spoken over us our destiny, our calling, our place in the kingdom, what he wants us to do. And so out of love, Jesus loved us even before we loved him. He loved us. And so out of love for him, we want to be obedient to him. Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And if someone says that they love me and they hate their brother or they don't keep my commandments, Jesus said they are a liar. And so we don't want to be accused of being a liar. And there is perfect love. And John says, he who has fear has not been made perfect in love. And so our perfect love extends to other people on this earth. We have a love for our Father. We have a love for Jesus, our Savior. But we also have a perfect love, or an agape love, an unconditional love for people here on this earth. And so as God gives us commands, as he gives us calling, as he opens up doors for us, we go to minister to those. We go to extend the love of Jesus through the ministries that he gives us. We go to minister to others. And in Matthew 25, verse 33, Jesus gives six different categories of people there. And he says, if you have done this to the least of these of mine, you've also done it unto me. And what he's talking about is if you have extended the love of Christ to these people, those that are in prison and need a visitation, those that are in the hospital and need a visitor, those that are hungry and need food, those that are thirsty and need drink, those that are naked and need clothing, and those that are the alien, that is the stranger among us, and they need to be taken in and given shelter. When you minister to the least of these of mine in my kingdom, Jesus says, you have also done it unto me. You've also ministered unto me. And beloved, I've been in the prison now going on 16, going on 17 years. I've done thousands of services in the prison, led worship, preached there. But I can tell you every single time that I have been in the prison, I have been blessed by going in. It has not been a burden to me. Sometimes I've gone in, I've been weary, I've been tired. I may have had some kind of sickness or whatever. But every single time that I have gone in, I have been blessed by those men. They have been blessed by me. The kingdom has been blessed. Their families have been blessed through the teachings and the blessing of their loved one in the prison. And so this is how the kingdom operates. We are the hands and feet of Jesus Christ. We are the hands and feet here on this earth of the kingdom of God. And so as God calls you to do something, step out. Speak against that fear in your life. We'll be talking about that in just a minute. Step out and speak against that fear and move forward in love for those that God points out to you to love and to minister to. Fear involves torment, John tells us, and that torment comes from the devil. It is not from God. That torment comes from the devil, and the torment is something that the devil wants us to be paralyzed by. He wants to neutralize us. He wants us to be immobilized. And so that torment then keeps us bound up in fear. We don't want to step out and do anything courageous. We don't want to step out in the kingdom and do something mighty for the kingdom. I know, beloved, because when I get out on the platform sometimes, I get a little anxious and I start to think about, well, what would happen if this would happen, and what would happen if that would happen? And all of that comes from the devil. It's not of the kingdom. God puts you in a place and he will protect you. He will defend you. He will be there for you. You will have your guardian angels, and the kingdom is made for such as these, those that step out in faith. If you have the faith of a child, if you believe as a child, and children they step out in faith in many ways. They just trust their parents. They trust people around them. They don't ask a lot of questions. They don't intellectualize things. They don't run in fear. They just step out in faith, and that's God's will for us, is that we come with the faith of a child, not only to salvation, but also in doing those things that God calls us to do. Well, let's look at the story of Gideon, and let's start in verse 11. And Gideon is hiding in the wine press here in verse 11. The Midianites, that is a pagan or a Gentile tribe around the children of Israel, they're tormenting them. They are stealing from them, stealing their produce, stealing the output of their land. And so the children of Israel are in agony. They're in fear. Then here's Gideon, one of the children, and he is actually hiding in the wine press, which was a big wooden press that was used to press the juice out of the grapes, and he's thrashing his wheat in there because he's afraid that the Midianites are going to see him and that they are going to steal that wheat from him and destroy the works of his labor. And so here in the verse 12, the angel of the Lord, that is Jesus Christ himself, the angel of the Lord appears to Gideon and says to him, "The Lord is with you, mighty man of valor." Well, let me just say, beloved, when God speaks over you, he is speaking to your highest nature. He is speaking to your highest calling. He is speaking to that spirit. It is our spirit that hears from God. He is speaking to that spirit which is made in the image of God, and he is speaking your calling, your destiny, and your open doors. He is speaking that to you, and he is not speaking to your human nature, to your failures, to your weaknesses, to your shame, to your guilt, but he is speaking prophetically to you of where he wants you to go and what he wants you to be. When God spoke over Jeremiah in the first chapter of Jeremiah, he said to Jeremiah, "Jeremiah, I have appointed you to be a prophet to the nations. I have appointed you even before you were formed in the womb. I spoke over you, and I spoke that you were going to be a prophet to the nations, to build up, to tear down, to pluck up, and all of this." And God says, "The word that I put in your mouth to speak to these people, they will be my words. I am going to put them in your mouth, and so you don't have to fear what you're going to say or how you're going to accomplish what I call you to do." And so God speaks to our highest nature. He speaks to our calling and to our destiny. Well, Gideon comes up with all the standard pat excuses. In verse 13, Gideon says to the Lord, "Oh, my Lord, if you are with us, why then has all this happened to us? And where are all the miracles which our fathers told us about, saying, 'Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt?' But now the Lord has forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites." Well, we always come up with lots of excuses. We say we're too weak. We don't know enough scripture. We have too much physical infirmity. When I ask people to go to Africa with me, I hear all the excuses. When I ask people to go to the prison, I hear all the excuses. And we always, in our human weakness, feel like we're not capable or feel like we're not qualified or equipped to minister, to serve God. But let me tell you, beloved, God equips those that he calls. You're not maybe equipped today, but tomorrow you may be when God calls you and you step out in faith. God then equips those he calls, and he supplies the provision. Where there is a vision, there is provision. And so the Lord then will supply all of your needs. He will be there for you, and he will not forsake you. Verse 14, the Lord turned to Gideon and he said, "Go in this might of yours, and you shall save Israel, the hand of the Midianites. Have I not sent you?" Well, beloved, when God speaks to you in a dream, in a vision, or speaks to you over this radio broadcast, he is saying to you, "Have I not sent you?" We have all been called to pick up our cross and carry it daily. That perfect love that casts out fear allows us to love other people, to pick up our cross, to deny ourselves, and to go and serve them. I'm a nothing, I'm a nobody, but God has given me the strength to go to Africa 7 times, and I'm here now on the 8th trip. And so God gives us the strength to do what he calls us to do, and he says to us, "Have I not sent you?" Matthew 28:19, you all know it. It is the Great Commission, and we are all commissioned, we are all commanded by the Lord to go to all the nations. Maybe it's just next door nation, Haiti, Mexico, maybe it's just to the people in the next state or the next block, whatever. But we are all called to go as believers, as born-again believers, and minister to those who don't know about Jesus Christ, who have no idea what their eternal salvation entails or where they're going to spend eternity. But we have been called through the Great Commission to take the message of the gospel to all the nations, baptizing in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, teaching all that we have been commanded, teaching all that we have been commanded, and lo, Jesus says, "I will be with you always, even unto the end of the age." So Gideon responds back to the Lord, verse 15, he said to him, "O Lord, how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house." So Gideon, again, focuses on his weaknesses, on his own inadequacies, on his own fears. And God speaks to him, verse 16, "Surely I will be with you, and you shall defeat the Midianites as one man." And then verse 17, "Then Gideon said to the Lord, if I have found favor in your sight, then show me a sign that it is you who talk with me." And so Gideon asked the Lord for a sign. We'll be talking about that later. But anyway, God says he will never abandon you. He will never forsake you. He will be with you always, even until the end of the age. And he told the children of Israel, even before they went into the promised land through the prophet Moses, he said, "I will never forsake you. I will never abandon you. So fear not. Go forward. Be strong and courageous in the Lord." Well, Matthew 17, verse 20, Jesus was speaking to the disciples. They had been unable to cast the demon out of this young man, and so they came to the disciples and they said, "Jesus, why can't we cast it out?" And Jesus said, "If you have the faith of a mustard seed, you can speak to this mountain, and you can tell this mountain, 'Mountain, go from here into the sea,' and it shall be removed into the sea, and nothing shall be impossible for you." And so as we think about fear in our life, we know the devil wants to torment us with fear. He wants to keep us bound up in fear that we never step out and do anything courageous. And we eventually are afraid of our shadow. We're afraid of bugs. We're afraid of snakes. We're afraid of stepping out of our house. We're afraid of our financial situations, whatever it is that is a problem for you. Maybe it's a fear of the future that you just don't think you can cope with life, and the devil starts to talk to you about eliminating your life, about suicide or destructive thoughts through drug use or through alcohol or pornography or many different ways the devil comes against us. And Jesus said, if you speak to that mountain, speak to that mountain. And so we speak to that mountain of fear. We say, "Fear, I speak to you, I rebuke you in the strong name of Jesus. I speak to you and I ask you to leave. I say in Jesus' mighty name," the blood of Jesus covers that spirit of fear and works against that spirit of fear and destroys that spirit of fear. And so if you speak to that mountain and ask the Lord to move it into the sea, the Lord will be faithful to move that mountain into the sea. And if you do that with every obstacle in your life, speak against the mountain of sickness, speak against the mountain of pornography, speak against the mountain of drug addiction, call upon the name of Jesus, a name above every name. Acts 4:12 says, "There is no other name under heaven whereby we can be saved, and all those who call upon the name of the Lord, they shall be saved." And so that's not only speaking about our eternal salvation, but it's also talking about speaking against the mountain to be saved from the torment of the devil in every situation in our life. Well, beloved, Psalm of David that you all know, Psalm 23, talks about fear and walking in the valley of the shadow of death. Psalm 23, I'm sure you know it by heart, but I'll say it anyway. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Well, beloved, in verse 4 it says, I walk through the valley of the shadow of death every single day. We walk through the valley of the shadow of death. The devil wants to steal, kill, and destroy from us. He wants to steal, kill, and destroy from our children, from our family, from our husband, from our wife, from our ministry. But God says that we shall fear no evil, for you, God, are with us. In your rod and your staff, they comfort us. You prepare a table before us in the presence of our enemies. Beloved, we are going to be able to sit down and be in the presence of our enemies, and we are going to be able to feast in front of them, and they are not going to be able to stop us. God wants to prosper you. He wants to bless you. He does not want you to be harmed. He wants you to have a hope and a future. Jeremiah 29:11, he wants to give you a hope and a future. And so when you seek the Lord, when you start to come to him, and you seek him in prayer, you seek him in Bible study, you seek him in fellowship, you seek him in worship, when you start to do that, then God will prepare a table for you, and you can feast in front of your enemy, and your enemy will not be able to harm you, and he will not be able to stop you. Anointing, he says, you have been anointed with oil, and David said, my cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Well, that anointing, beloved, comes from the Lord. It comes from sanctification and being set aside to do the work and do the will of God. That sanctification is represented by the Holy Spirit, by the oil on the head of the priest. And so just as the priests of the Old Testament and just as David was anointed, so too are we anointed to do God's work. Jesus stood up in the temple in Luke chapter 4, verse 19. He said, the Spirit of the Lord God has anointed me. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me and has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, to give sight to the blind, and to bind up the brokenhearted, to declare release to the captives, and to declare this a favorable year of the Lord. And so it is God's will that we do that very same thing, that we preach the gospel to the poor, and we pray for people to bind up the brokenhearted and to break every chain. The anointing breaks the yoke of torment. The anointing breaks the yoke of bondage and destruction off of people's lives. And so that anointing can be yours, beloved, but you have to seek the Lord. And then the glory of the Lord will fill your house. You will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You don't need to wait until you get to heaven. You don't need to wait until you die to start to experience the joy of the glory of heaven. You don't need to wait until you die, until you start to experience the blessings of living a Spirit-filled life. You can start to do it right here on this earth. You can start to do it right now, today, and you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. If you've never confessed him and you are not born again, you confess your sins, you turn from your wicked ways, and you repent, and you turn to the Lord, and you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and you move forward then, and you can start to experience the joy and the glory and the anointing of the Lord. You can start to experience that right here today in your life, and you don't have to wait until you get to heaven. Well, we're going to look at a continuation of this story of Gideon next week, and we're going to look at the fleece that Gideon put out, that he would know for sure that the Lord was giving him the instruction, and then also how the Lord showed Gideon that it would only take a few men to do what Gideon thought would take many, many thousands. The Lord showed Gideon that it would only take a few men to go into battle and to be victorious, because God did not want Gideon to think that it was the arm of man or his own arm that was giving him the strength. God wanted him to be sure and know that it was the strength of the Lord and the blessings of the Lord that was allowing him to have victory in this battle with the Midianites. Well, beloved, Gather the Outcast is a listener-supported radio ministry. We'd like to hear from you. We'd like to know what you like about these broadcasts and if you'd like to hear something taught in specific. And so we want to hear from you. If you never made a donation, I urge you to do that today to help keep us on the air and also help to support the ministry in Africa, all the good projects, all the things that God has called us to do over there. We need your help. We need your support. We need your blessing, and so without your financial support, without your prayers, we can't go forward and do what the Lord has called us to do and fulfill the plans of the Lord. Stay tuned for contact information coming up at the end of this broadcast. Thank you for listening today. God bless you. Tune in again next week. Have a great week.